Welcome, everyone. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for Canada and US for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 200 outlets worldwide. Before I start, my sponsors, our sponsors, thank you so much. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo because we're breaking free now from limiting systems and limiting lives and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story because storytelling is creating a new world. So let me introduce today's guest. We've got Anthony Violi. He is the weatherman. Today, he's, well, I'm sorry. Just went right off tangent then. He's a veteran Australian weather forecaster with more than 30 years of experience studying our unique climate. Anthony's passion for weather began on his family's 90-acre strawberry farm in Victoria's Yarra Valley, which is out the back of, well, for those that can see watching the video, it's out the back of my window here. Where he learned firsthand, working from the age of 8, just how powerful the weather can be when your livelihood depends on it. Over the past 3 decades, he's built a reputation for long-range forecasting using advanced computer modeling and deep analysis for more than 130 years of historical data. His predictions have gained attention for their accuracy, including forecasting major flood events well ahead of time when others missed the mark. He's just a weather legend. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you, Helen, and thank you for having me. It's fantastic to be on again.
Yes. So where do we start? Because I just want to let everyone know, firstly, that Anthony is much more than a weatherman. So we're going to touch on a few other topics. But let's start with the weather. You're over in Manila now. Last we spoke, before the lockdowns, you lived in Victoria. You moved
Yes.
and packed up everything and went to South Australia to get away from, you knew we were what was coming our way, right? And you moved from South Australia and you exited Australia and went to Manila. So tell everybody why you did that.
It's actually Malaysia, not quite Manila, but close.
Oh, beg your
Very
pardon,
close. No,
Malaysia.
that's okay. That's all good. So they're very close. Philippines and Manila and Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, they're pretty similar. So I think, like all of us, you've just got to understand what's happening. And there's two types of people in this world. There's people that can really see what's happening, and there's people that can't. And a lot of them are comfortable in their own lives, and they don't really care what's going on. They just live their own lives, ignorant to the facts of the stuff that we know. It's apparent to me, and I've said this before on your show, that the financial sector is where people's lives are really being affected. So 5 or 6 years ago, we would have thought COVID and health was probably a big thing. I think now we've moved on to something different, and we're now looking at the financial reasons and impacts that we're seeing. So in the last 24 months, my wife and I have been traveling Southeast Asia, particularly Malaysia, with a view to living more comfortably. And I'm very lucky. I mean, I can speak for myself. I'm very lucky because I can work online. So I don't need to live in Australia if I don't want to work. I can still earn an income online. So that being the case, we're semi-permanently over here. We're not permanent yet. That'll come next year where we get our 2 year visa. And then we'll look at being permanent after that. But to answer your question, the reason we did it was simply because the crisis of housing, the cost of living crisis in Australia, the taxes that these governments are bringing in, which is just ridiculous, and you guys in Victoria would know more than anyone.
More than anyone.
More than anyone, we left Victoria in 2017, like you said, because we knew what was coming. We've lived in South Australia in the Adelaide Hills, which has been very good for us. There's no crime there and it's quite calm. But the standard of living and the cost of living is really getting out of hand now. And there's no rentals anywhere in Australia, as you know. So you don't have options. So a lot of the times in a financial situation where things are getting tough, you would probably downgrade. Say, I don't really need a 4 bedroom. The kids have moved out. I can go for a 2 bedroom. We don't have that luxury in Australia anymore because there's no rentals around because the government's bringing in 100,000 immigrants a month. Okay? Over here, there's an abundance of properties. In fact, in Kuala Lumpur, in the city centre, there's 4,000 rentals available. And it's all high rise, so that's probably skewed a little bit. It's not really comparing apples with apples, but
Different sort
there's
of.
more options. Yeah, there is. Yeah, more options, much more options, and much cheaper. We're talking $150 a week,
Okay.
which you could only dream of in Australia. At the moment, we're paying six, seven, $800 a week just for a standard house.
Yep.
If you're in New South Wales, it's probably a lot more than that. It's probably up over $1,000 a week rent. Melbourne, I'm sure, would be pretty close to it. That's basically the reason we did it. And the one thing that we've really noticed here, Helen, is the food is much better here. So one thing that people don't realize, in Asia, you're actually not allowed to spray your crops with Roundup and stuff that we do in the Western world.
Oh my gosh, I love this, Anthony. I love
They have really strict rules here as to what you can and can't do.
Yep.
And from the time we came in 2024 to now, and we've been now been 5 or 6 times, we've been many times,
Yeah.
and this stint is actually a 3 month stint, a long stint this time. The food here, you can digest it really easily. You don't bloat up. You don't feel fatigued. You don't feel achy. I know in Australia, if I eat a loaf of bread or a box of crackers, it doesn't matter what I eat, I feel terrible
Yep.
because the amount of stuff that they put in them.
Yep.
We don't have that issue here. You can eat rice here and you can digest it. Most people will think, I'm not going to eat rice because it's carbs. I'll blow up. I won't be able to go to the toilet. That's not the case here. The food here is
Oh,
much better.
I learned that myself. Chiang Mai, Thailand,
Yep, that's right.
15 years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, we were at the back of Chiang Mai and we were doing a bit of work, development, self-development work, but we were all encouraged to, those that had intolerances and whatnot, were encouraged to eat all the local food because what we learned was it wasn't the food that was making people sick, it was what was put on the food or in
That is
the food
correct.
that was
That's
making people
correct.
sick.
And Asia is sort of under the one umbrella as well.
Right,
So it's
right.
not just Malaysia. You could go to Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and have the same thing. Japan,
I
very
just,
strict rules,
I had
and they
no
don't poison their
idea.
food.
I had
Yeah.
no idea that they weren't allowed to spray their food, so their food is a lot more chemically free than what ours is.
That's correct. So rice is the big one. Rice and wheat, they're not allowed to spray with Roundup.
Right.
Now, you could still go into the supermarket here and you'd still find your Twisties and your crackers and your chips, which would have maltodextrin and other things that are no good for you.
Yep.
There's no question that they exist here. However, they're locally grown food. If you were to eat their locally grown food, you would have no issue whatsoever. And we do that. We love it here.
Yes, oh, that's
It's been a
wonderful to
big thing.
hear.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to hear. And we don't get, I like firsthand advice, firsthand experience
Yes.
from people, right? Not just quoting what you think you know or out of a book, but you're letting us
Yep.
know you're living the difference.
And that's correct. And this was one of the big eye-openers for us because we originally were attracted to the fact that financially things were much better here.
Yes.
Of course, Australia to Malaysia is a 2.81 conversion. 2.8. So one Australian dollar gives you 2.8 ringgit.
Okay.
So that's really good conversion. And then on top of that, you've even got the standard of living here, which is much cheaper. So
So
if you wanted to go to Melbourne, for example, say you went to Melbourne Central or the casino and you wanted a honey chicken with rice, you're looking at 28, 30 bucks. Here you're looking at about $5 maximum.
So
Maximum.
if you're independent as far as running your own business and you're getting paid in even US dollars or Australian dollars,
Yeah.
you've just made yourself extremely wealthy.
And the thing is, Helen, that I also wanted to bring to your listeners is there's a lot of people doing this now. So we've met in our journey many, many people from England,
Yep.
Australia. There's not many from America, but there's a lot from UK and from Australia who are over here.
Okay.
We've run into many, many couples and spoken to them, and they've said the same thing that we did. We wanted a way out. We wanted to, and most people have sold up their houses
Yep.
and lifestyles and moved. Depends if you've got children or not, I suppose. But so in UK, for example, it's 5 to 1 the conversion. So
Right.
you could sell a $200,000 home in the UK, which they don't exist, but let's just assume they did.
Yep.
That would be 1 million Malaysian ringgit, which would last you many, many, at least 10 years.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So there's many benefits to do it. And then you put the health on top of that. And I think it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Like, money's just spreading out 2.8% far more than what you were before. And you've
Yes.
got a healthier lifestyle, healthier food.
Healthier lifestyle. Yep. And the standard of living is lower. So you gain also.
Right.
Yeah. Not just the conversion. The conversion's one thing. But your $150 a week rental, your food is $5 a meal, not 30. So you
Yes.
gain there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of advantages to it, that's
A
for sure.
lot of advantages, absolutely.
But you've got to go through a few hoops, I suppose, in terms of getting a visa to get in there in the first place, and then
Yep.
your way towards getting citizenship of some sort.
Yeah, so you're lucky if you've got an online business, you can get a 2-year nomad visa, which we're going to apply for next year.
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, you've got options. You've got options to get a
Okay.
permanent visa. I mean, we could get a permanent visa now, but the cost is around about 30,000. It's pretty expensive.
Yep.
But for a nomad visa, it's only a couple of thousand dollars. So we're going to go down that path
Right.
and then build up our wealth accordingly in the next couple of years.
Yep.
Can I tell you about my US trip just quickly?
Of course you can. I know that.
And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because we just went to the US. So just for your listeners' point of view, my wife's bucket list item was to go to Graceland and see Elvis Presley.
I've been there, yes.
Yes, and we've never got to go because we've got kids, right? And our children are now grown up, and my youngest is now 18, so we can travel. So we finally, after we actually planned to go in 2023, but my daughter made rep netball, so she's been a really good netballer. So we had to travel all around South Australia in this competition, so we never got the
Was
chance to go.
priority.
Anyway, long story short, we went in a couple of weeks ago, and the food problem there is just as bad as it is in Australia. It is actually probably worse.
Right.
Everything we ate there, we either got sick or put on an extraordinary amount of weight. And you know how America's got the obese capital tag?
Yep.
I can tell you firsthand that that is exactly what it's like over there. And the other thing I wanted to point out was, and we talk about, I'm on your show, we talk about the fact that governments are doing what they're doing, and we know that they're not helping us.
Yep.
We saw firsthand over there something we didn't expect to see. So in New Orleans, for example, we went there for 4 days. The amount of homeless people that we saw on the streets, passed out and just living on the street with no homes, no food, anything like that. The government's actually removed the food stamps from them.
Right, I'd
They
heard
have,
that.
yes, yeah, so the minimum wage in New Orleans, if your listeners can believe this, is $7.50 an hour. Now, no one is surviving on $7.50 an hour anywhere in the world, let alone in America.
No.
And the other thing that was really startling to us was that the cab drivers were telling us, usually the government would come and pick these homeless people up and put them in jail so they can feed them and look after them. They're no longer doing that. They're just leaving the fend for themselves. So it was a really sad experience for us because it was really, really bad. It was like we went
Confront.
to Dallas. Yeah, we went to Dallas. We went to OKC, Oklahoma City. None of them were like that. New Orleans was just unbelievable poverty. It was really poor.
Gosh.
So in a way, it was good for us to see that. Because we now understand how lucky we are, one in Australia, as far as that goes, because we haven't got that yet, but I think we will get to that. And in Malaysia, we certainly don't have that. So it was a good eye-opener for us. So I just wanted to point out to your listeners that it's really bad over there.
Yes.
It was a good place to visit. We loved it, but the food is very hard to digest and eat.
Yep.
And they're very much a fast food capital. Like everything's fried there.
Yeah.
All
Everything.
Southern fried chicken. Yeah.
I don't think any of that's a surprise to us, but thank
No, it's
you. It's
not.
good to get the first-hand experience. Like I say, it's invaluable. And it's a terrible story. It's really sad, but
It was very sad.
I hear that what we're talking about, and especially what you've been doing, is keep ahead of the game, people, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that's right. That's
Keep
exactly right.
steps ahead of the game, and open up your mind, open up your heart to what, the possibilities of what you could be doing instead of just struggling and just handling what's going on.
Well, I think also, if I can point out as well, Helen, the opportunities we have today have never been stronger to start an online business. I mean, many of us weren't doing this 5 years ago. You
No.
know, there's now the funnily enough, the people that I've run into here that are from overseas are all running online AI businesses,
Yep.
whether it's a print-on-demand store or a whatever they're doing online. They're all trading online. They're all running programs online so they can travel because I think they also understand Europe is just as bad as us in Australia, where as far as cost wise goes and financial. They're also being priced out of the market. So I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to this. So there's a lot of opportunity out there at the moment. You just got to find it.
It's becoming a smart move. To me, it's always been plan B, right? Have plan B. Plan A was about being still connected with the corporate and government world out there. But plan B is how to exit those, how to not be reliant on government, not be reliant on big corporations. For me, the question started with firstly, how do I get back to basics and a simple life? And then it became, how do I live the life I want to?
Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. And that's basically the premise that we've been living under. And I've always been, so for my weather forecasting service, when I started in 2016, the motto that I used to start with was one step ahead.
Oh.
Because I like to think that I'm one step ahead of the curve. And I say this all the time to people who ask me, when we look at computer models and weather forecasting, it's very much old technology. So what we've known to be the case in the weather patterns in the last 30 years is now no longer the case.
Right.
We've got to evolve in a way now that, so I'll just explain it quickly for your listeners.
Sure.
If an El Nino is coming, it means the Pacific is going to warm and they think an El Nino is coming, and the model will forecast a certain set of parameters because it thinks an El Nino is coming. That's just a very simplistic way. That's not the way the weather works anymore. There's many, many factors at play, including the amount of warmth in the oceans at the moment. And of course, the government will tell us it's climate change and man-made warming and all this garbage. We know that's not true. The warming that we're seeing in the oceans is from the underwater volcanoes, which have been going off for the last 40 years and increasing. In fact, the underwater volcanoes and the global temperature have got a perfectly correlated graph. You can actually see that graph online, which they won't tell you about, of course, because they want you to believe that if you're driving your cars and using your air conditioner, so they can tax us down the track, because that's what their plan will be. So you've got to evolve and see what's happening in the world. And now that I've studied that pretty well over the last 10 years, I've got a really good handle on how the weather patterns can be forecast a bit better. So my last 3 years of forecasting probably my best, because I don't really believe what the models tell me, because I know that they're flawed. So so it's the same in anything in life. You've got to be one step ahead, and you've got to see what's happening and try and keep ahead of the curve.
And with our weather, they started replacing a lot of the different points around, the suburbs, the countryside, in all of the cities. They started replacing them with new technology and new ways and new devices. Anybody knows that if they have a look at their phone, even the forecast for the day changes during the day, which it
Yeah,
needs
absolutely.
to. And the
Yeah.
forecast they give you for the coming week, you can't, you could not bank on it.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. It's just so changeable. Not to mention what they're doing with the weather, of course. We understand that. We've talked about that
The
before.
interference as well.
Yeah, we've talked about this before a fair bit. But also, like the automatic weather stations 100 years ago didn't have bitumen roads next to them. Now they do. So, of course, they're going to be hotter,
Absolutely.
right? We've built up our cities through. We're talking our warmest ever night in Victoria was in 1908, right? Do you think there was much concrete jungle and concrete roads in 1908? I wouldn't have thought so. So it was 30 degrees overnight. I think it was January something, 1908. It was 30.4 overnight. It was really hot. Now, for that, if you correlate that to today with our concrete jungle, we're probably looking at 35 degree temperature overnight. So that's how hot it was back then. But they don't tell you that, of course. They just say, no, we're warming to run their agenda. And I'm sure their agenda is to tax everybody.
So really, you're saying that we really can't put a lot of faith in them forecast telling us what old forecasts were anymore and trying to align them that way, because it just doesn't work that way anymore.
That's correct. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. So we're definitely, you've definitely got to evolve. And the other problem that we do have, if I can just digress a little bit, is with the weather patterns, they're using anomalies. Now, an anomaly is a difference or a deviation from the normal. So at the moment, they're saying this El Nino that's coming this year is going to be 3 degrees above normal, and it's going to be the highest number that we've seen in 30 or 40 years. And that will be. If it reaches 3 degrees above normal, it will be very high. But it's an anomaly, so it's comparing against a baseline, and we don't know what that baseline actually is.
Well, I was just thinking as you were saying that, it's like it's predicting, but the predictions are based on the information that's put in to the
That's
computer.
correct. So to use, so what they do is they use a 1991 to 2020 baseline, so that 30-year period, but they adjust them all the time. They adjust them minusculely every week by 0.001 of a degree, so slightly lower to make today look warmer. That's how they get away with it. And I've been on this bandwagon for a long time. I think I might have said to you in your last interview, in 2013, I went to the government and asked for a government grant to do a research project. And they said, no problem, but you've got to tell us that global warming is caused by man, or we won't give you any money. And that's when I thought, well, that's why I started my own business in 2016, because I thought I need to be supporting the little guy.
Independent.
Yeah, and to be, and I want to be real. I don't want to be someone who's paid off by the government to be, all those Facebook pages and weather services we see at the moment, most of them are paid off to promote this climate change and to promote that. I was never going to do that.
The government is a corporation, right? And
Of course.
it's looking for its own survival just as much as any other corporation out there, no matter what it is.
Have you ever heard of the saying, it's a big club and we're not in it?
Yeah, it's
So
a
that's the story. I
bummer.
mean, you're either in it or you're not. And if you're in it, they make heaps of money. And unfortunately, us people are the ones who cop it. And that's what's happening at the moment.
Who pay the price for it. So let's keep one step ahead of the game. I found you when I started investigating and researching our government and our banking system and whatnot, and I was looking at ways to exit, just quietly exit and not be and become self-governed in some way, shape, or form. So I started unplugging from certain parts of our government systems, and started looking at our financial system as well, and that's came across you because I was looking at, people had private memberships, private associations, had private trusts. People had all sorts of different ways of trying to put a firewall, I suppose, between what you own and what's yours and the government systems out there. That's how I looked at it. So I came across you because you were doing private trusts at that time.
I
So
was.
yeah, so give us a nutshell as to how a private trust works for people.
Yeah, no problem. So I still can set them up for people. I think I've had my private trust for about 6 or 7 years. So in a nutshell, anyone can set up a trust. So people have this view that an accountant needs to set up a trust. Now, if an accountant sets up a trust, they will set it up with an ABN and a tax file number, which automatically makes it part of the system and taxable.
Correct.
But you and I, or anyone for that matter, can set up a trust that's not registered with the government, which is not subject to tax.
Yes.
Now, I also want to point out that this is not financial advice by any stretch or anything like that.
No,
I'm not
thank you
qualified
for
to. I'm not
the disclaimer.
qualified. Yes, so that's my disclaimer. I'm not qualified to offer financial advice. I can just give you alternatives. And I've had my private trust for about 7 years now, 6, 7 years, and I do help people set them up. So the benefits of them are that they're not taxable. So what you could do, there's many ways to run them. And back in the day, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing consultations with people and saying, this is how you can use them. But in a nutshell, basically, you could say you had a business doing handyman work. You need to invoice your customers with an invoice. Now, if it's got an ABN on it, that will be classed as income and taxable. But if you invoice from your private trust, it doesn't have an ABN on it and it's not taxable because it's not classed as income. Now, the key distinction here is, or the key thing to understand for those of you out there listening, is as long as the person you're invoicing is happy to accept it without an ABN, you'll be fine. What we're seeing at the moment is what we've seen over the last couple of years is the ATO is telling businesses you're not allowed to accept an invoice without an ABN because they're trying to make it harder for us to make
Correct.
money that's not exempt from taxation. So the way around that is to not issue an invoice and be able to get the money directly transferred into your account, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So if you wanted to set up a private trust, you wouldn't be doing it if you're selling at the market, selling crystals and using Apple Pay or Square or something like that. It's very much so for if I did a service for yourself and you transfer the money into my account. That's how you'd use a private trust. You can also put property into the trust,
Yes.
right? And that protects you. Property protection is massive at the moment. A lot of people are starting to look at property protection. Trust is by far the number one thing for that. The other thing I will mention is that just in the last couple of years, they've also started to look at taxing trusts. Because,
Here in
yeah,
Victoria.
here in Australia,
In Australia, they have just declared that discretionary trusts are going to be taxed 30%.
and the reason because they don't want people having property in trust.
Correct.
Because if it's in trust, the trust controls the property, not the person, and then
That
the
was the
person is
reason
no
why
longer got.
everybody was putting
That's
things
right.
in their family
Exactly.
trust, their discretionary
Exactly.
trust, right? And
Correct.
now, yeah, the government's gone and just closed the door in one great big slam.
And my personal opinion is a trust is a great idea if you've got a good amount of money coming in because you can, if you had a, say you had a handyman business and you were Handyman Suppliers Proprietary Limited or whatever, you could invoice from your private trust to that entity
Right.
and do it as a tax break. You could get money coming in as a tax break. So there's all sorts of ways you could,
Firewall, yeah.
correct. There's many ways you could run the trust. So they're a good idea.
And then the trust, the unregistered trust, sustains you as the living man or the living woman, and that's and it can pay your rent, can pay your mortgage, can pay your food, your overheads.
The bottom line is, in a nutshell, if you don't have a trust that's registered, no ABN, no tax file number, they can't tax you because it's not in their system, their capital letter system.
Yes.
Right? So they've got no jurisdiction over it.
I have to say that when I set my trust up with you, I went to the bank. I actually have a bank trust account with an
Yes.
unregistered trust.
That's it.
I don't think that many people are having success these days because the banks have also been forewarned to look out for these sorts of things, unfortunately.
Well,
But
yeah, sorry.
you don't have to have the actual trust account. What you're saying is you can still just have your usual account, but you've got the private trust in the background.
So I set up a couple before I came to Malaysia in April, and they had no trouble opening the bank accounts. Well, I wouldn't say no trouble, they opened them. But it's a more of a process now. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when I was doing trust, it was very simple. You go straight to the bank, they open them straight away, no questions asked. Now everything has to go through the head office in Sydney, no matter which bank you're using, if you're using Westpac or NAB or Commonwealth. We're finding a lot more success with the smaller banks. So the Southern Union banks and, the Great Southern Bank in SA, Bank SA. Actually, Bank SA, where I live in South Australia, has been very successful opening trusts. They still do them. I had one open not long ago. Not for myself, for someone else. So it can still be done. It's worthwhile looking at if you've got money coming in because you can certainly have a tax break.
But also, I mean, you put your disclaimer there. I'll put another disclaimer. You need to know how to manage it. You need to know how to work it. You can't,
Very much so.
you need to know how to have conversations about it and how to operate it, right?
Very much so. Very much
Very
so.
important, yes.
Yep, 100%. Very well said.
Good. All right. Well, there's a tidbit for people to start looking at how to self-govern, how to be the person that is managing your own life, right?
Correct.
What about your podcast? Last I spoke to you too, you were doing a podcast with your daughter. Are you still doing that?
No, that was definitely an idea, and then we decided to move to Malaysia semi-permanently. So unfortunately, that's on the back burner at the moment. It was a great idea because I thought I'd have a fair bit of time, and I really wanted to bring basically what we're talking about now to the people, just have a conversation about whatever and where might lead because my daughter's well awake like myself. She is only 17 years of age and is working like a trooper at the moment. She understands that the time is running out for us to live our lives as we are at the moment, which is make money, because clearly they've got plans obviously down the track to limit us what we can and can't do. So she's really cashing in on that. And I thought I'd just leave her be and let her work. She left school early. She left at the age of 16, at the end of year 10, to pursue work, and she's actually made quite a deal of money over the past couple of years, and living, really, really working hard. So I'm really proud of her. The podcast would have been really cool, I thought, but it didn't get off the ground, unfortunately. We decided to come here. She's back at home in South Australia. So maybe one day. You never know where the future goes. It really depends on. I'm only expecting to go back to South Australia, back home for probably a month in June or July. Sorry, in July or August. We actually plan to go back July 20. That's our date to go back. We may stay for a month in Australia and then come back here. But next year and the year after, we'll be here full time. So the only way that's going to happen is if she decides she wants to up and leave and move here because the visa will cover my whole family.
I've
So
got
they
you.
could come anytime they like.
So that makes me that has me thinking now, right? I'm looking at the overview of your life and the moves that you've made over the last, gosh, what is it, 7 years, 6 or 7 years. We're not here to just be mums and dads and sisters and brothers anymore. That's not the that's it's just not the way life is anymore. We're here for something much more, aren't we?
100%, and it's with people you don't even know yet. This is the big thing that we're finding. We're meeting people all the time. And I think the biggest thing to us is there's a lot more people out there that are open to listening. We found, especially in our travels, we've really connected with people, and all of them want to hear what you got to say. Normally, I think 5 or 6 years ago, when COVID was going on, no one wanted to hear it.
Yeah, that's
No
true.
one wanted to hear what you said. You're an idiot. You're a nut job. You're a conspiracy theorist, blah, blah, blah. Now I think it's really apparent that something's going on. People are starting to say, "Oh, I had thoughts about this. Can you tell me a little bit more?" So I think it's just about connecting with people, and that's one thing that we're really enjoying at the moment, my wife and I. We're just meeting people and talking with them, and it's amazing who you meet. Like, we're just running into people that we never would have thought. Even in our American travels, we ran into some Europeans who were at Graceland, and we connected with them. And they were really complaining about the government, and they said it's just complete takeover there, like it is in Australia with immigrants. The same problems that we face. So we're all in this journey together. And like I said at the beginning of this interview, you either see it or you don't. And I'm really lucky that we've connected with a lot of people who see it.
Well, I think like attracts like, there's no doubt about it. But yeah, we all sort of thought that we're going to spend the rest of our lives being those mums or dads or brothers or sisters or whatever. But we're actually creating a new world right now where all like-minded people starting to find each other and pull away from the old system because we don't want the old government. We don't want the old banking. We're starting to see the corruption and the holes in all of it. So I think you're just a very good model to follow because it's like people have to start looking forward now and going, where do I want to live? Where's the best place for me to live? What do I want to own and how do I own it as well? And I think it's really important that people start focusing on how can I earn my own income?
Yeah, I think so. So again, you pointed out a really good point. We're not just fathers and mothers, we're mentors to people. We don't realize we are until the time comes when you have a conversation with someone and you walk away from the conversation and think, geez, that would have got a lot out of what we just talked about. And I think, like I said to you a minute ago, it's really apparent now. People are starting to work out, hang on a minute, the government's not even hiding what they're doing anymore, right? They are actively trying to destroy our lives now. Now, I mean, financially, there's going to be many, and my views, I said this in the last interview we did, there's going to be many, many people who don't come through this because we're going to see another Great Depression, like a 1930s reset. So we understand this is coming, and people are starting to now see because the government's no longer hiding what they're doing. And the media plays a big role in that, right? So we understand how corrupt they are. And I mean, I go on social media now, and all I see now is three or four articles a day: housing crisis incoming, housing crisis this, housing crisis this. Experts warn of this. They're actively telling you what's going on, that things are going to turn for the worse in the next few years. So you really need to be ahead of that. So
It's actually it's pre-programming. It's pre-programming because
always.
you start planting the seeds of, the fear and the insecurity that's coming up. People don't seem to realize that, we are an enormous creative energy, an enormous creative power, and if we're all plugging in on there's going to be scarcity, we're co-creating it.
That's right. And that's exactly right. That's what they do. So a lot of people don't realize that part of their occult law is that they need to tell us what they're doing. This is how deranged they are. They actually believe that if they don't tell us what they're doing, they'll get bad karma. So that's why you see these articles in the paper a month before a massive flood. Or they'll say La Nina is developing really strongly in the Pacific Ocean. So when they hit someone with a cyclone, everyone will think, oh, yeah, that's right. They did tell us a month ago La Nina was coming. Now I know why the cyclone hit. So it sort of
Well,
deflects.
I have another viewpoint on that because I don't think that they're that I don't think they're that nice that they're pre-warning us and they think it's karma. If they plant a seed, we will grow it.
Oh,
So
yes, I agree. I get that.
we will make it happen. So
Manifest it, yep.
if they, yeah, we want a plan of some weather event or some awful natural event, plant the seed into the community and get the community to actually build and create the event.
Yep, no, I get that. Absolutely. Yeah, because mind is so powerful.
It
Yeah,
is
mind
incredible.
over matter, they say. There's a reason why they say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get
I
it.
get
And
it
that's what
too.
they do. They do, and that's what's happening. Like you said, it fear breeds fear. They work on fear as a really big tactic for them.
We create it. So if we really are a bunch of batteries, right? And all our battery energy is put towards, oh my God, there's going to be a flood. Oh my God, there's
Yes.
going to be a flood. There's
Guess
going
what
to
happens?
be a
Yeah.
flood.
100% agree. 100% agree.
I just want to shove that into people's heads to realize that be very careful what you focus on. Be very careful. and keep away from mass media and keep away from, I don't know, I haven't had a television for about 12 years now. Keep away from, anything that's not supporting and encouraging you. I think that you're right with what you said earlier, like it's becoming so transparent. It's just the government's just showing how stupid they are and how greedy they are and how corrupt they are. And I really want people to open their minds up and go and have a look at Agenda 2030 because it's on your doorstep, guys.
For sure.
Jacinta Allan, who's the premier here in Victoria, just recently started announcing, and I don't know, I haven't looked into it, but a number of suburbs around inner Melbourne are going to be tested out because all of the speeds on the roads in those particular suburbs are going to be completely reduced to 40K.
I did hear this. I did hear this, yes.
So this is, and then with the article, it comes out saying, oh my gosh, what's the point of having a car? What's the point? Well, if you go and read the Agenda 2030, you'll realize that these are the seeds being planted to not have a car.
That's correct. You're 100% right. They've already done it in Oxford as well,
Have they?
in the UK. Yeah, they've started the 15-minute plan. Yep.
Right,
They've already
right.
done the zoning and all that, and it's already in motion there.
Yes. So I really think that people should look at that, and I think you should really start figuring out at least to get away from the cities, to get
Yeah,
away
100%.
from the city.
100%. I don't think they'll be safe.
No, it won't be the life that they had planned for themselves. Anyway, that's
The civil unrest, I think, will be pretty strong.
yes, yeah. So trusts, yeah. What other ways can people, what would you advise? What would you say to somebody who was working for, an employer at this point in time? Where did you start with looking at getting, taking control of your own livelihood?
Well, the thing that I did that most people that I speak to haven't done was we started investing in precious metals around about 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago. And we set up a self-managed super fund we're full of all gold and silver. And that's done, as you can imagine, extremely well.
And is that self-managed super fund in your private trust as well?
No. So you can't, with superannuation, it's separate. You
Okay.
can't put that entity into the private trust, unfortunately. Superannuation has got a whole set of rules that are separate to any other rules. So with our super fund, we did that in 2015, put it all into precious metals. That's gone up around 600% in the last 11 years or something. So it's gone up an extraordinary amount. And the same with our personal stash. We've been buying precious metals every week. Around about 2021, 2022, we sold our properties and put it all into precious metals as well. That allows us some freedom because we've got our money working for us. So, from the last interview we did, I talked about this ongoing crisis where interest rates are going to continue to skyrocket.
Yes.
And I think, I'm not sure, did we do the interview late last year? It was somewhere time last year. I think it was last year. I think it was late last year. But anyway, I mentioned then that interest rates, remember I told you I had an insider at the bank,
You
if you
did?
remember, who
Yes,
said that
I
by
do.
the end of 2028, he expects the cash rate to be somewhere between 12 and 15%.
Right.
And what do we have now? We've got the war that began in February, and we've got the oil price going up, which creates inflation, which is now starting to happen. So now we're starting to see interest rate rises again, and this is going to happen globally. So we're going to see worldwide interest rates go up. So inflation is going to become a big problem. Affordability is going to become a problem. My personal experience is I sold my property 4 or 5 years ago. I knew I was early. I actually sold before the first interest rate rise in February 2022. The minute that the Reserve Bank said there's going to this inflation is transitory, I'll never forget. I did an interview and I said in February 2022, they're lying, they're going up, and they did 13 rate rises in a row from May 2022 to the middle of 2023, I think it was. So we'd sold our property just then, just before it all happened. I knew I was early, but I do say to people now, you need to really think about. I know it's fantastic to have your own property, and it's one thing that we miss, but if you think about the alternative where people ended up in 1930, everybody lost everything. We had the Great Depression and the market collapsed, stock market collapsed, housing market collapsed, people didn't have food. There was just a crisis. Luckily, then there wasn't the debt levels of today. This is the big thing about today. You need to have very little debt at the moment. If you've got debt at the moment, there is no, and I know because I've got clients. I'm really lucky. I've got about 900 clients, and all of them, I told them 10 years ago to get out of debt.
Yes.
That was my main thing because I also teach them about this stuff,
I did the
and
same.
I,
I did the
yeah.
same. And I've been debt free for so many years that it was only just I had an epiphany only a couple of months ago going, I have no debt.
Yes. Isn't it
None.
great? Isn't it great?
It is, but you've
But
got
that
to
allows,
plan for it.
yeah. So that allows you to, that allows you to survive this in some way. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, everything's going to get really expensive. And we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to skyrocket from here. But if you've got no debt, you've got
Well,
half a
they're
chance.
doing. I mean, it's all in language, isn't it? So the pedal's gone on the accelerator, and then it comes
Yeah.
back off, and then it goes back on again. I mean, we know here in Victoria, come the end of June, that was the end of our 3 months for this, lovely sort of interim petrol cost.
That's right,
Yes.
exactly.
And then it's going to skyrocket, and
And be higher than it was before, probably.
then products are going to disappear off the shelves,
Oh,
and
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see
Yes.
every step of it coming, and I hope this conversation is helping people to do that too.
Yeah, so private trusts are certainly a way to help reduce tax. There's no problem with that. That's a really good strategy. But the strategy we also need to talk about is how to survive this in totality. Because I think everything's connected. So the food supply is going to be affected by what's going on around the world at the moment. It's not going to be just one thing that's going to hurt us. It's going to be a lot of things. Food supply is definitely one. So back home, I've got, numerous amounts of freezers in the garage full of food.
I remember you saying
We've,
that.
yeah, we've been stocking up for a long time. So we've got a big supply of food. And funnily enough, I was talking to my daughter yesterday. They haven't even eaten any of it out of the freezer. And I said, well, that's good. That means we've got more for later if we need it. So to survive this, I think you've got to think in totality. It's a big program. It's not just going to be the financial aspect. So I've always told people, if you can sell your property, I know you don't want to, but if you can sell it now while it's worth a lot of money, you could put it into precious metals and invest that. And that will always go up. In a crisis, gold and silver always goes up. Everything else collapses. That's what we're going to have in the next few years because interest rates reaching 12 to 15% guarantee that gold's going to double or triple in price from here. Because that's what happens in an inflationary cycle. We understand this through history. So you couldn't do anything. You could do a lot worse than sell your property and put it into precious metals. I know you've got to find a rental, and that's the problem with living in Australia. There's very little options for renting, whereas that's why I'm over here in Southeast Asia, because there's an abundance here. There's just millions of properties you can rent out for much, much cheaper than in Australia. So now not everyone can have the luxury that I have an online business and traveling. So that's what I think. I think, if you can try and get ahead of it and in some ways buffer what's coming, you'll be one step ahead.
And even, yeah, that's all part of your plan B. And make part of your plan B. How could you have a home-based business? How could you do something? As you say, just your experience alone and the things that you've been doing, you're giving that information away to other people and seeing how valuable it is. There's a resource. There's a
It's
resource.
actually been life-changing for us, because in the last few years, I'm not a worrier. I never worry about anything. I'll never die of stress. My wife loves to joke about this because she really stresses a lot, whereas I don't. We're polar opposite in that regard. But I do talk to people, even the awake ones that I know, who do stress a little bit about what's happening and the fact that perhaps one day they may come after our gold and silver. And because we might have a financial crisis, in a crisis, they can take our gold and silver. That's if we buy it on the books, of course. Which gold and silver is lucky because you can buy it off, under $5,000 with no identification, so you can get around the system like that.
Correct.
But I don't tend to worry about stuff too much. But the last 2 years has really been a game changer for us because not only did I think I was moving here for the financial side of it, I now understand that the health side of it's a big issue here.
Right.
And the big thing for us here in Asia is there's absolutely zero crime. The only crime you have here in Asia is cyber crimes, like hacking and stuff like that.
Yeah. So
Or there might
they're
be.
not on the streets, they're all sitting in rooms on computers.
Well, see, the difference here, Helen, if I can tell your listeners, in Australia, you guys would know well, especially in Victoria, there's carjackings happening all the time, home invasions, and the people that are doing this stuff just get let off. The courts don't punish them, they let them do it again, they bail them out the next day, and they'll go and do it again. Here in Malaysia and Singapore and the Asian countries, if you eat food on the train, it's an instant $10,000 fine or a 2 year jail sentence. No mucking around. Yeah, there's no crime here because they've got very, very strict laws on crime here. No one even thinks about committing a crime here. There's no, No one eats on trains. No one chews chewing gum. No one graffitis. There's no graffiti in Malaysia that I've ever seen in my life, or Singapore, anywhere. Because the penalties are so severe here. They don't muck around with courts. They just throw you in jail.
And so
So
it's a
it
system that just works.
works. And the people are lovely here. They're all English speaking here. They're salt of the earth people. The standard of living is not high here, so they're grateful for what they have, which is really good. As you know, the Western world's become very materialistic. Everyone wants the fancy cars and the fancy handbags and whatever it might be. We don't that problem doesn't happen here, so
That
that's
was
also a good thing.
a valuable thing that you just said, because
It
that,
was
they're grateful. People are grateful.
very grateful. In many ways, I wish I grew up in the 50s and 60s when we didn't have these social media and stuff that we've got today, because it's just a distraction. That's all it is. The phones are just a tracking device, and they just want to limit and track every move you make. It would have been really good to live. Imagine living in the 50s where my dad grew up, and walking to school 10 miles, and your parents got no idea whether you made it or not, because that's what they did.
Yes. I
That's what they
mean,
did.
when I started pulling out of the system and when I started really focusing on how to live a simpler, a better and happier life, I kept reflecting back on my nan and pop in that generation. So I kept challenging myself, what would have been in my cupboards? What would I be eating? How would I be thinking? I started to really look at them as an example, right? Even today, I heard a fella say that having color on our phones, everything in color is a huge distraction. It's actually a, you know, it's it hits all these different senses for us. So you can go to a setting on your phone and you can change your phone to black and white. So I've now
That's
got
right.
my phone on black and white. It's just another way of, just not plugging into all of this online world. Because
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So my message is to the listeners out there, nothing is impossible. There is many possibilities out there, and never fear anything. There is nothing to fear. You have got control of your own life in your hands. Today especially, people look at today and think, I'm limited and the government's coming after us and everything's going to collapse. Yes, that's correct. But we have control of our own destiny. You've got many ways you can get around this. There are many options available, and I'm proof of that. I'm telling you life, I'm telling you real life stories I'm seeing over here, where you can come to a place where there's no crime. And I'm not saying people have to come here. Even in Australia, I'm sure there's places with no crime, out of the cities and stuff like that. Go and live in the rural areas. There's got to be better options than where you're living. Everyone can do better. As simple as that.
Well, have the focus of becoming self-reliant, because
Yeah.
if the system's going to come after you and you don't have any assets or contribution in the system,
Then you're free.
what's it going to do?
You're free. You're free to live your life as you see fit.
And to me, I kind of see it like, I don't know, something out of a sci-fi movie. The government's a bit like one of those drones, and I feel like it comes buzzing past me every now and then, and it looks at me and it goes, nothing here. So it just moves on. It moves on.
That's a really good way of putting it. That's a really good way of putting it. Yep, absolutely.
And that's where I just encourage people, just become like that, right? Because, don't fight that system out there. Don't kick and scream. Don't poke at it, right? Just walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need to use the system to your advantage. So, again, for your listeners, just go on YouTube and just see what the trends are in online businesses. They'll tell you what to do. Go to ChatGPT, use the system. ChatGPT, just type it in. How can I start up an online business? It'll tell you easily in 5 seconds.
It's a great idea. If get whatever you're good at, whatever it is you're good at, plug it all in there and let ChatGPT tell you
It
what sort
tells
of
you.
business you can start.
100%. I know many people that I've run into from all over the world, mostly Europeans, who are running these print-on-demand businesses, and they're just selling T-shirts with whatever designs they design without any infrastructure. The AI model does it all for them.
You don't need a shop front, you just
You
need.
don't need a shop front. It's all online. Everything's online these days, so you should embrace it. Embrace ChatGPT, YouTube. It's easy to do. There's many, many resources available for us. A lot of people just don't realize that. They're too busy, thinking about how they're going to get around this.
Or not thinking at all.
Not thinking at all. Correct. That's correct. So, I wouldn't be fearful. We've got many opportunities. Many, many opportunities.
I see a lot of things outside of us as programs. They can be called egregores as well. Go to the dictionary and look up egregore. It's pretty amazing. The church knows what egregores are. Egregores are collective thought forms, right? Collective thought forms. And, I find that most people are focusing way too much on the physical world and not realizing about the energy of this world as well. We are creating things, and the government is an energy. It's a program, and you either plug into it and you become a part of it, or you unplug and start doing something else instead.
And when they when you plug into it, they drain you.
Yeah.
They drain your energy, and that's what they're doing. They're just draining your energy.
I mean, we got on here to talk about weather.
Well, you know what? It's funny because the weather's connected to it. Everything that's happening is connected because they're creating the droughts and the weather disasters around the world that are really hampering our food supply. So it's all relevant.
Yes.
It's all relevant to what's happening in the next few years. The food supply. This, if I had to quickly describe the things I'm worried about in the next 2 years or
Please.
3 years,
Please do. We got 7 minutes, Anthony. Go for it.
food supply is number one.
Yep.
These are the things that the normal person can't see. Food supply number one and unemployment number two. They're the two things that are going to come in the next few years that people can't see. I think everyone can see the cost of living is going up. They understand that. I think everyone knows the housing correction is coming. They also understand that. A
Yep.
lot of people, especially the younger people under 40, cannot see that unemployment is coming. You and I will remember 1990 and 1991 when interest rates were 20%. We had a huge recession.
Yes, we did.
Now, I don't know about yourself, but I know with me, everybody I knew that was friends of my father around the 40 to 50 to, age bracket lost everything.
Well, I was working in conveyancing, so I actually saw people selling their properties, and there was 16 and 17% interest rates at that point.
Yes, there was.
But the difference between then and now is
The
that
debt.
most people had at least 10% deposit in those properties.
Correct.
They had equity of some sort so that
Yes.
they could at least live on that or look at starting again. But
That's right.
now I don't think people have that equity.
No, they don't have. Well, they're giving 2% loans out to people. It's crazy. So this is the problem that we've got. Unemployment is a big one. A lot of people, and I think I'm not sure if I said this to you last year, we should have a recession every 8 years. Australia hasn't had one since 1990, which is 36 years. That is deliberate. You know why? Because the younger people under 40 have no idea what's about to come.
Yeah.
They have no idea that unemployment's coming, and AI alone is going to take over jobs anyway. But unemployment with a severe recession is coming will mean 10 to 15% unemployment, and that's going to really, really hurt people.
And they won't know what to do with that because
They'll
they've
have no idea what to do.
no experience to kind of rely on in order to help them through.
So if we go by previous history, like we saw in 1991, when everyone got unemployed, the only option they had was to sell their homes if the bank didn't actually take it.
Yes.
So you create a housing collapse because you got all these properties in the market no one wants to buy.
And
And that's
people
where we
don't
get to.
realize as well that the banks can come in at any time, no matter what's going on with your loan. And if they revalue it and they realize that, their valuation has increased by 5% or 10%, they're going to ask you to pay that money back.
That's exactly what happened in 1990 from all of my dad's friends. They were all business
Right.
owners and they
Right.
all lost their homes because they had their homes mortgaged against their business. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So history's going to repeat. So unemployment, food supply are the two things that I'm really concerned about, not for myself, for society in general. So if I can pass that message on to people, think about that because I think that's where things are happening at the moment.
Yeah, I think people should be giving some good thought to that.
Yes.
And even if they have to sit around, instead of sitting around watching Netflix or going watching sport or something,
TikTok.
hey, TikTok.
TikTok.
Yes. I think it would be really constructive for people to sit around and have a powwow, either the family or the friends, about how, if this was coming, what would we do? What would we do?
Correct.
Have really good conversations about, like, I don't know, I'm feeling like I'm on Big Brother now. It's like, how's life going to work and what are you going to create, right? Start doing, have conversations about it.
So, do you remember in the 80s, especially in Melbourne, when Springvale was taken over by the Chinese?
Yes.
That was done because a lot of them came over here and 10 of them lived in the one house, paid it off, and then bought another one.
I
And
know.
then they lived in the house. And so, 10 people, we may have to go back to that model. People may have no choice but to live together with families.
Well, I saw that as smart. I mean, I've watched the Burmese do it for the last 10 years in the
Yeah,
suburbs
correct.
where I am in Melbourne. They just all live together.
Yeah, that's right. And we may.
Then you get a lot of people who are struggling or whatever and, start blaming them and all the rest. It's like, hang on a minute. They made the best of the situation that they had. I think it was very
Well,
clever.
Asians are smart. Asians are not stupid. Asians are one thing we've noticed here, they are very, very switched on people. So it's funny because the people we talk to here talk about government corruption. And I say to them, you haven't seen any government corruption till you come to Australia. And I'll show you government corruption if you want to see some. This is nothing what they're only little things here compared to what we have at home.
So we want to put that on the kitchen table then, or the dining room table, that everyone starts thinking about living together. And
Well, you've got to just adapt. You got to survive. You have to survive what's coming. There's got to be ways around it, and there's always opportunities. Like I said, there's always options, opportunities.
of
There's
course.
many of them. You just got to think about it and find the best way through it.
And it's in conversations. That's why I'm doing radio and I'm doing these shows. We can think things till the cows come home, but when you actually start talking things out, you start to work things out, right?
Correct.
It's
That's
like
right.
it's got to come out. I just say it. In here, it's in the dark. It's got to come out into the light. So, yeah, sit around the table and really chew out different ideas that you can do to get through, just call them hypothetical problems. I mean, you and I know they are coming, but even to look at them as hypothetical so they don't get too stressed about it. But look at, really flesh out what plan B and C and D is going to be.
That's it. That's pretty simple. Pretty
Because
simple, I
otherwise,
think.
you're going to be living without any money and without any food. And what the hell are you going to do? I mean, the screws have already been put on in New Orleans from what you're talking
Oh
about.
yeah, it was really different there. But I think they've never taught people how to hunt their own food, have they? That's another
You
story
go to the shopping
altogether.
center, you go to the supermarket or something, half of those kids don't even know what, an eggplant is or
They wouldn't
something.
even know where it come from. Whereas we were taught to hunt when I was young. We can survive hunting our own food. Most people can't. So it's just a big issue coming forward, I think.
It is, isn't it?
It
Holy
is.
cow.
But we will get through it.
We will get through it, and it'll be people like you and me, and there's hundreds and thousands of us,
Yes,
just
there is.
us, that are full of experience and full of knowledge and ideas. And I just, everybody just reach out. Reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone wants, to talk about trust or something like that, they know where to find me. Or any other advice, I'm happy to talk to people. I don't mind talking to people over the phone, even a stranger. I'm quite all right with that. It's good to talk to people and connect.
Whether it's
So if
from
I
my
can connect,
system
if
or
I can help your audience in some way, that'd be good.
and I've got your website here, AV Weather. Has that got your phone number or a way? How
It'll
can
have my email and phone number on there somewhere,
I'll
yes. But
contact us?
I can give it to you. It's anthony@avweather.com.au, so it's pretty simple.
Got it. Got
Yeah,
it.
people can email me anytime they like.
Absolutely. And I'll put those details in the show notes for this as well.
Yeah, perfect.
People, reach out. Anthony's there. I'm here. Really start to just reach out and talk to people about your doubts and your fears about, what you may look like, and let us help you, give you some ideas and some guidance,
And
right?
even if you don't want any service or anything, you can just ring me anyway. Just
Okay.
contact me and contact me and have a chat. It's always good to connect with people.
That's great. That's great. And hey, it's been a pleasure. We have been around the world and back
We
today
have.
on all sorts of topics. It's always such a pleasure. You're just such a well-rounded guy with a lot of information. And thank you so much for being you.
Always pleased to be on here and share your information with your listeners. It's fantastic. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Anthony.
No worries. Thank you very much.